In your Bible, please, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And once again this morning, our attention is drawn to the fourth chapter and verse 8. Finally, or as for the rest, brethren, whatever true, whatever noble, whatever just, whatever pure, whatever lovely, whatever of good report, if any virtue, if any praiseworthy, think, logizomai, concentrate, carefully consider, soak in the significance of these. And we have been, the last couple of weeks, looking at first thinking, concentrating, allowing the significance of that which is true. Aletha. Aletha, that which is real, that which is genuine. Went over to 1 John just to refresh our minds, our hearts. The fifth chapter, 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 20. And we know, we have absolute knowledge, that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know, experience Him who is true, aletheia, genuine, real. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The more we deliberate on the truth revealed in Christ Jesus, that truth revealed from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the more we soak in the significance of that which is true, we better discern that which is a lie. Think on that which is true. Noble. And our attention went to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. At various times and in various ways in the past, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. The prophets were God's proxies. God spoke in the past by proxy. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, piecemeal, progressively, but it was a partial revelation. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. Now, what God is revealing, He is revealing personally, not by proxy. He is revealing perfectly, not piecemeal, not partially, not progressively, perfectly in His Son, who is appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, God said, let there be light. He, the Son, is the light of the world. The light that brings life. The brightness of His glory. And the express image of His person. The outward expressing of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, that of the only brought forth of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back to Ephesians. Finally, as to the rest, Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, what is true, what is noble, what is just? Here we have a word in the Greek language, dikaios. Dikaios means right, straight. This word is that which is the standard by which everything else must measure up to. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is just, dikaios, we translate in our English language, justified, righteous, righteousness. All of those words have this dikaios as its root. What is right? What is straight? It's the standard. It is that which everything must be judged in reference to. God is just. He is right. Righteous. Went over to Romans chapter 1. You remember that Paul is now writing to this church in Rome in 57 AD. He's on his third missionary journey. And this church in Rome was brought into existence on the day of Pentecost. All the Jews from around the world had gathered there in Jerusalem, but also proselytes, those Gentiles who had identified themselves of believing in the true and the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and were proselytes to the Jewish faith. And some of those were from Rome. And on that day of the outpouring of the Spirit of God, the Church of Christ, Jew and Gentile, was born. And those Jews that were there went back to Rome. And so very shortly after Pentecost, the church at Rome was in existence. It's 25 years since that church was established when Paul writes this letter. Look at verse 8 of chapter 1. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. The Roman Empire was now being impacted with the gospel of Christ, and those who were saved on the day of Pentecost, who were Romans, had gone back and proclaimed Christ to such a degree that it was permeating the Roman Empire. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request always in my prayers that by some means, now at the last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to, it's 25 years, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, as also among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks, the cultured, and to the barbarian, the uncultured, both to wise, unwise. So as much as is in me, the very desire of my being, I am ready to preach the good news, the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's called it, as he opened this letter, the gospel of God. He's called it the gospel of his Son. He's calling it the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. For in it, the gospel of God, the gospel of his Son, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of our salvation. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Dikaios. What is right about God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. The just, dikaios. See that word righteousness? Righteousness of God? Dikaios. See that word just? Dikaios. The just shall live by his faith. Focus on that. Think on that. Carefully consider that. Soak in the significance of what is right, righteous, what is just, those who are justified by faith. Come on over to chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Dikaios. No flesh right. No flesh measures up. No flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Come on over, keep your foot in Romans, but just go back to Galatians. And I'm reading from chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, concerning whom the promise was made. The promise to Abraham, the promise that God had prepared a place for, they have not yet entered into that place that God has promised, not even in 1948. They are not as a spiritual people in the land that God had promised. They will be. The promise was made. A place, a people, unique, belonging to me, different from any of the nations, the peoples of the earth. A people that I am protecting. A people that I am prospering, a people through whom I will bring blessing to the whole world, a posterity, the seed of the woman that would have his heel, but not his head. In the bruising of his heel on that cross, he crushed the head of Satan, the promised seed of the woman. The Christ would come through the seed, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The seed should come to whom or concerning the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, But God is one. There's no mediator between He and us, except the man Christ Jesus, who is one with Him. Is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness, dikaios, what is right, what is straight, what is the standard by which all things must be measured, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scriptures have confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. The law had a purpose. The law is righteous, and everything apart from the law is unrighteous. So the law convicts man of his sin. It condemns man in his sin. But it was given for a time to keep man on course. Without the law, the people of God would have had chaos. But the law was there to keep them on course. And ultimately, the law was there to carry them to saving faith. The law kept to faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, to carry us to faith, that we might be dikaios, justified. Righteous, justified. Dikaios, justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. Back to Romans chapter 3. The righteousness of God revealed. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, dikaios, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the dikaios, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here's the standard. Righteousness. Justice. That's the standard by which all will be judged. Think on that. The righteousness of God, the justice of God. That is the standard, that which we need to measure up to. And we can't. It's impossible. All have sinned, fall short of that standard of righteousness, of justice. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Being dikaios, justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the setting free, from sin, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. Remember, we spent a whole Sunday looking at that word, the gracious, merciful, satisfying sacrifice. As was the mercy seat of God in the Old Testament tabernacle, so now Christ, He is the propitiation, the gracious and merciful, satisfying sacrifice in our behalf, and not only us, but for the sins of the whole world. He's the propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. How? By His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, dikaios, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at this present time his dikaios, his righteousness, that he might be dikaios, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In the past, through the provision that God had given through the Levitical system, through the law, sins were covered. The priest, in behalf of the people, offered up the sacrifices acceptable to God as a covering. But now, in God's grace and mercy, he has provided propitiation, his gracious, merciful, satisfying sacrifice has cleansed away our sins. And he thus is the just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ. That's why we don't, as we didn't this morning earlier, sing when the hymn book has that word pardon, sing it. We replace it as best we can. New life, justified freely, we sang this morning though in that gospel song, Heaven Came Down. The reason we don't sing about pardon is under the Old Testament, the covering covered up the sin, but the penalty was not paid fully. It was not a satisfying to God of his righteousness. It was not satisfying to God of his justice. But in the sacrifice of Christ, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He was our sin bearer, that we might be declared and thus be in the sight of God, in the presence of God, positionally before God, right in Christ, in his righteousness. The penalty was paid. Pardon does not take that in consideration. It's not just as if I never sinned. We sinned. All have sinned. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're going to die in our sin, in Adam's sin. We're going to die in our own sins apart from. There's only two positions that mankind finds himself. In sin or in the sin bearer. And if you're in the sin bearer by faith, then declared right, declared just. The penalty's been paid. The righteousness of God in Christ. Where is boasting then? We're back at Romans chapter 3, verse 27. It is excluded. By what principle? Of works? No. But by the principle of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is dikaios, justified by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify, dikaios, the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. It fulfilled its purpose. Convict of sin. Condemn in sin. But also, carry to faith, It's fulfilled its purpose to bring to saving faith, justified, righteous in Christ's sacrifice. Chapter 4. What then? Shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified, dikaios, by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should be walking about in them. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was put to his account. It was accredited to him as righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that the righteousness of God we might be seen in his righteousness. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered, Old Testament, quoting from the Psalm 32. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not put to his account sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for dikaios. Think about that. God just credited it to him on the basis of his faith in what God had revealed concerning how one is right with him. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised. That righteousness, dikaios, might be imputed, put to their account, our account, to them also, and the father of the circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of Abraham, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. He's the father of a people of faith, not simply the outward sign of circumcision, that which God gave as an outward indication that these people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were uniquely his, but circumcision of the heart, the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all uncircumcised, circumcised, and the righteousness of God accounted to him is the righteousness of God accounted to us. Look at verse 20. Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Him alone that it was imputed? No, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification, dikaios. Jesus went to the cross. He took upon himself the sins of the world. He knew no sin. He neither committed a sin, nor was he a sinner by nature. He came and took on humanity supernaturally, bypassing the nature of man, sin, through natural conception. And in the likeness of man, he went to that cross. And because of what he accomplished, justification, because of that death, we now are just before God, right before God, declared righteous. But it didn't stop there. He raised him from the dead because of that justification. I don't like to always correct the hymn book, but there's a gospel song that says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Rising, he justified. No! He was raised because of our justification, because of what he accomplished. Why? God was satisfied. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is God saying, amen. It's done. My righteousness, my justice has been satisfied in the sacrifice of my Son. Therefore, it behooves. That's why Paul says, as ambassadors, we do everything we can to bring you, to reconcile you to God through faith in Christ. Believing that God, the Son, sovereign Son, Hebrews, sent sin bearer, now seated, is the one in whom our faith must rest. And on that simple act of faith, not joining the church, not being baptized, not doing anything other, than resting, trusting in him, as to who he is and what he has done, we are right before God. And that's why Paul says, look, as to the rest of what I have to share with you, oh, what is true? Think on that. What is noble, deserving of reverence, think on that. And what is just, think on that. Thank you, Lord, for who and what you have done through your Son in our behalf, that we might stand before you, clothed in the righteousness of God. Allow our hearts and our minds to soak it in and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.